out there.
I know.
I overslept today. I did. It just seems so relaxing, you know. The rain brings in the coolness and the optimism. It'll wash away our troubles. That's what I was thinking. I just, you know, halfway woke up and I rolled over and I went back to sleep. Then when I woke up again, well, I was wet. As we walk in the rain this morning, well, not raining as much as it was. Let's see what's going on real there. All right, we got a little sprinkle. Talking about the rain in the morning sometimes, it just makes us feel good. It's 4 after the hour. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Bleat Radio at bleat.network. And you're a part of it, and thanks for joining us here. Tuesday, this is the 8th of the month of September. We could have used some rain out west to wildfires and testifying in California over the long weekend. Record high temps stoking the flames and forcing power outages out west. Hundreds of campers were rescued, but others remain trapped. Closer to home here, Jacob Blake spoke out. Jacob Blake, for the first time since being shot by police in Kenosha, Wisconsin, warned that life can change in an instant. Meanwhile, in Rochester, New York, protests continued over the death of Daniel Prude, black man who suffocated while being arrested. House Democrats launching an investigation into my favorite postman. Should we hear? Let's do it, yeah. Hang on. Wait a minute, hang on. House Democrats are going to launch an investigation into my favorite postman, Louis DeJoy, the Postmaster General, following accusations. What does this guy do now? That he reimbursed previous employees for their campaign contributions to his preferred GOP politicians. So we're going to hear more about that. The most corrupt administration in the history of the United States. President Trump accusing Pentagon leaders of wanting to fight wars to keep military manufacturers happy. Marks came days after The Atlantic reported that he mocked fallen troops, which he denies. This guy, that's, all right, well, let's look ahead a little bit, should we?
This election, we have a choice between Donald Trump, who called Americans who died fighting for our country losers and suckers, or Joe Biden.
The generation of soldiers, sailors, and airmen and Marines who have served and sacrificed for us are the heart and soul, the very spine of this nation. The millions and millions of you who gave service, limb and sometimes life, fulfilling your oath to this nation and to all of us, we owe you. And over 5,700 have made the ultimate sacrifice, including General Kelly's son, who returned home today. 100% of America owes them a thank you. 100% of the nation can and must do something to acknowledge what they have done for us and continue to do this very moment.
Joe Biden respects our troops. Joe Biden loves our country. Joe Biden 2020.
Joe Biden, and we hope that he will go on to be the 46th president of the United States. Well, in relation to the election, I'll hit this very quickly here. 9 drug companies issued a joint pledge today that they would stand with science and not put forward a vaccine until it had been thoroughly vetted for safety and efficacy. Here's what's going on here. President Trump is, again imagining that some miracle is going to happen. We will have an end to this COVID. We will have a vaccine. It's not going to happen in the next month. Those drug companies did not rule out seeking an emergency authorization of their vaccines, but promised that any potential coronavirus vaccine would be decided based on large, high-quality clinical trials. Companies would follow guidance from regulatory agencies like the FDA. We believe this pledge will help ensure public confidence in the rigorous scientific and regulatory process by which COVID-19 vaccines are evaluated and may ultimately be approved. So, all right, you got the deal. Trump repeatedly claiming that a vaccine could be available before Election Day. It's November 3rd. No. Heightening fears that his administration is politicizing the race by scientists to develop a vaccine and potentially undermining public trust in any vaccine approved. This is a bad man, and we are going to move on here. You know what else I read the other day? I don't know if you're up on this. The intelligence communities of the world, all these spy agencies, you know, it used to be they were spying on each other, something involving nuclear warheads or looking for the latest technology. You know what they're doing now? All the major spy organizations in the world, they're trying to check out each other's research on the COVID vaccine. That's what we're spying about now. Yeah. 3 of the companies that signed the pledge, and back to what people have said in the United States, are testing their candidate vaccines in a late-stage clinical trial, Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca. But only Pfizer said that it could apply to the FDA for emergency approval as early as October. Come on now. Late last week, Moncef Slaoui, the top scientist on Operation Warp Speed, we'll be saluting Star Trek later today. Don't make me run over and hit my phasers. He said the federal effort to quickly bring a vaccine to market warned in an interview with National Public Radio. This is the head guy at the White House. He said that the chance of a successful vaccine by October was very, very low. So anyway, Six other companies that signed the pledge were BioNTech, which is developing the vaccine in a partnership with Pfizer, and then GlaxoSmithKline, Johnson & Johnson, Merck, Novavax, and Sanofi. I think we ought to have a musical rendition. Here's the scoop very quickly. There are 24 vaccines being tested in phase one. That's where they just test their safety and dosage. There are 14 that are in phase two. That's expanded safety trials. And 9 vaccines in large-scale efficacy tests. So that is that's what's going on. We're going to talk more about that this week. I'm very concerned that people are confused as we get into, not you, but people that perhaps are not quite as awoke, are going to get confused that suddenly the election is going to be decided on a new vaccine, and we're probably just not going to have one by then. So, all right. It's 11 after the hour. We're going to cook up some good music for you today. We have Pink's birthday today, and Patsy Cline also having a birthday today. So here we go. In 1504, I'm going to do a quick one. Michelangelo's statue of David was unveiled in Florence. It's a beautiful statue. The Oprah Winfrey Show. I love Oprah. Really, I do. She made $1 zillion doing good things for people, trying to encourage them to do good things. The Oprah Winfrey Show went on TV nationally on this day in 1986. And in 1565, the first permanent European settlement right here in the United States founded in St. Augustine, Florida. How about that? On this day in 1565, the very next year, they cooked up a golf cart and a shuffleboard tournament.
There's something in the way you roll your eyes. Takes me back to a better time. When I saw everything is good. But now you're the only thing that's good. Trying to stand up on my own two feet. This conversation ain't coming easily. And darling, I know it's getting late. So what do you say we leave this place? Walk me home in the day. There's so much wrong going on.
Walk me home in the day of the night. I can't be alone with all that's on my mind. So say you'll stay with me tonight. There is so much wrong. There is so much wrong. There is so much wrong going on outside.
That's Pink. Pink has a birthday today. Pink is 41. Her full name, Alicia Beth Moore. I think I got that right. A song called Walk Me Home on the Pandemic Pirate Morning Show here from Chicago at 15 after the hour. And welcome in. Thanks for joining us. We're going to make it just a little bit of a laid-back Tuesday here. We kind of drift back into the day here. Yesterday was Labor Day. People did or did not have the day off, so we'll just segue that a little bit today here. I'm going to try to call down to North Carolina in a moment or two, talk to my friend JT Austin down there, Carolina Mike. See what's cooking. All kinds of bizarre news in North Carolina. And just stuff all over that I was looking at. For some reason, last week, daylight savings time, popped up again, daylight savings time. When is that happening? Well, it'll be coming your way again on the end of it, actually, on November the 1st, which is a Sunday. So, I spent a lot of time trying to keep track of time and dates and stuff here. I actually worked in the in radio overnights, you know, and we actually had that time change for years. Very odd time where we would lose a. Well, most people sleep through that. We would either gain an hour or lose an hour. Remember one year I went on strike for an hour. They added the hour to it there. That was kind of a bit. But you know what? Scientists are actually thinking that maybe it's not such a good idea to have daylight savings time. Let's see what they have to say about that.
Every spring, dozens of countries around the world suddenly set their clocks an hour ahead for daylight saving time. If billions of people are literally shifting time twice a year, there must be a pretty solid reason why we're doing it, right? Daylight saving time has always been pitched by the government as a way to save money on energy. More sunlight in the evening hours means less dependence on artificial lighting. It was first used during several months of World War I, and then brought back by FDR during World War II, when it was instituted year-round until the end of the war. It wasn't until 1966, when the Uniform Time Act was passed, that the U.S. began observing daylight saving time from spring to fall annually. It's because of the 2005 Energy Policy Act that daylight saving now begins during the second weekend of March and ends during the first weekend of November every year. But studies have found that adjusting our clocks doesn't really save us anything on energy use. What we save on lighting is negated by increased use of heat and air conditioning. When it's light out longer, we also tend to drive more, which means using more gas. Daylight saving extensions haven't been driven by energy costs. They've been driven by retailers who want to give consumers more daylight to shop, eat out, and play golf. And while that isn't necessarily a bad thing, there are costs associated with losing an hour every March. Studies have found that on the Monday after springing ahead, we see a spike in car accidents and heart attacks, and a lull in productivity. One study estimated that the time shift cost the U.S. over $430 million in lost productivity. And following daylight saving time doesn't optimally align daylight hours with normal hours of human activity. It actually makes it worse. With daylight saving time, the entire continental U.S. has a reasonable sunset time for a majority of the year. But many places only see reasonable sunrise times for less than half of the year. If we were to abolish daylight saving time, we would still have roughly the same number of days with acceptable sunsets. Plus, we'd have way more days with appropriate sunrise times. So while getting rid of daylight saving time might mean a little less time spent on the links in the summer, it could also mean a few less car accidents and a lot more pleasant mornings for the rest of the year.
Wow. Fewer car accidents. That's good. But what about that insomnia that we have?
I go out walking after midnight out in the No!
That's Patsy Cline on the Pandemic Pirate Show. Oh, my goodness. I just dropped our guest on the floor. Oh, my goodness gracious. I think we had actual live radio today. I'm going to call him back. We'll talk to Carolina Mike. Carolina Mike down in Carolina, and I just dropped his, probably blew out his hearing. It's 22 after the hour. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show. It's Tuesday. It's the 8th of September, and wow, and all kinds of stuff happening here. I can't believe we made a little bit of a mess here in the studio. You know what? The other thing I was going to do today, let's do this. I think this is worth a spin here if I can put my hand on it here. This is the date. Remember this one? You remember this one? You remember this one? This is the date.
Space, a final frontier.
66, this show went on the air.
These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
I was great of an opportunity to talk about that show. Star Trek went on the air this day in 1966. Reading here, the popular science fiction TV series created by Gene Roddenberry was about the adventures of the crew of the starship USS Enterprise. You know what, though? Gene Roddenberry had this concept of a kind of spaceship Earth, and everybody got to play. James T. Kirk, you know about him, science officer Spock, played by Leonard Nimoy, chief medical officer Dr. Leonard McCoy, Bones, and a bunch of people, George Takei, Asian American, Denise Nichols, the scene of the first interracial kiss was on the bridge of the Enterprise. Anyway, I thought that was just a good opportunity to say something about the Star Trek here. Should we give that one more spin? Oh, let's go. One more spin. Come on. One more spin.
Space, a final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
A phone system from the late 19th century here. I'm going to see if we can make that happen, and we will call up Carolina Mike after I fall to pieces.
How can I be just your friend?
That's Patsy Cline on her birthday here. You know, my buddy Caroline and Mike here probably had a flashback. Mike, you thought we were down at working at WFNC again when I played Patsy there, you think?
Was that not Patsy Cline. Come on. Well, hang on a second.
Yeah, all right.
My communicator's going off. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim. Jim, the peanut butter is in the galley. See Guyman, okay?
JT Austin joining us, also known as Carolina Mike, and God only knows what name we're using now.
I answer to Hey You.
I know.
Also.
I know. One other thing, Mike's the voice of still the North Carolina Symphony, right?
Well, when they start back up, I will be, yes.
Uh-huh. When soon. Soon enough.
Well, we hope at least by the Christmas season for the holiday concert.
Yeah. You know, Carolina has, I just pulled up some news. You guys always have bizarre news down there. President Trump coming down there. I'm sorry, President Trump coming down there today.
Yeah, we're so lucky.
Yeah.
you have to wonder, where is Oswald when you need him?
So, I was going to make a list of some stuff to talk about, and then I was trumped, no pun intended, by the food king story, or is it food lion?
Food lion. We call it the grub pussy.
the food.
Trump will love that place.
When you go to the South, the first thing you notice is that all the supermarkets got the Piggly Wiggly. And food lion. There's another big one down there. So
we have Harris Teeter.
Yeah.
We have obviously Kroger.
Right.
Publix.
Publix. Yeah.
Forgot. Wegmans has now come to North Carolina.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's big news.
Wow. What was that? Wegmans.
Wegmans is a big supermarket chain based out of New York State.
Yeah. I never heard of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, well,
I'm spending too much time at the Food Lion, I think, is what's happening.
Well, let's see. Food Lion used to be Food Town.
Uh-huh.
And they changed the name, so I had to change two letters.
Oh, man.
So that was an economical, I guess, logo update for them.
So the big news story is that a guy who was a cashier, I think, at a Food Lion, wanted to wear a mask with a flag on it, you know, flag mask.
Exactly.
And he's an Air Force veteran, for God's sake. And there was some problem about corporate stuff up anyway. But it went viral.
Yep, and Food Lion caved.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so it's rightfully so.
Oh, I think so, too. We're lacking common sense these days.
That's right.
I think, yeah, so... The other thing that was making news in North Carolina, I just noticed this on the air. I was going to try to vote by mail here in Illinois, which I thought would be easy. Not exactly, because I got apparently two ballot things. But anyway, Trump was suggesting that you try to vote twice.
Yes.
Just to see if the system works.
Sage advice from the orange one.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and the thing is, not only is it illegal to vote twice,
right.
It's illegal to tell people to vote twice.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And so we're going to see where that goes, along with the DeJoy appointment.
Yeah.
That's another guy from North Carolina. He's out of Greensboro. And
That. Louis DeJoy's from North Carolina?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No kidding. Wait a minute. Can you hear this? Hang on. Hang on. This is my theme song. You ready?
All right.
Here it is.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait
several minutes, Mr. Postman.
That's right. I didn't know he was from North Carolina at all. Wow. So
yeah, in fact, he owns logistics companies that directly compete with the United States States Post Office.
I did know. Yep. Yeah. Wow.
And so there's a lot of finger wagging at that one.
Yeah. So I was going to sort of say broadly. I said on the air the other day, is the South still part of the United States? And it is, right?
As far as I know, yep.
As far as you know, but it's a little different. So what you grew up with the Confederate flag and all the other stuff down there. But I mean, that was kind of your school mascot, right?
Yeah, my school mascot was the Rebel. We were the Rebels.
Yeah.
And it was that you've seen the little Rebel on the license plate saying, "Hell no, I ain't forgetting."
Yeah.
It was that little Rebel with a Confederate flag.
Yeah.
And we were the Rebels up until my junior year when they changed it to the Spartans, Southern Spartans.
Oh, boy. Like that's an improvement, huh?
Yep. But yeah. We had our choice as seniors of having a Spartan on our ring or a Rebel on our ring.
Is that right?
Yep.
And when, what?
I picked the Rebel.
Did you?
Yep. Sure did.
Yeah.
Of course, now it wasn't a racial thing. It was just I just liked the name the Rebels. You know, the Fighting Rebels sound a whole lot more imposing than the Fighting Spartans.
I know. Exactly.
I think of Spartans. I think of men in short metal dresses.
It's 26 before the hour here. This is a Carolina Mike who's going to get us thrown off the air here. So, yeah, I mean, I look at this, and I mean, I lived down there for a while. He and I hung out, and I guess people called me a Yankee probably behind my back, but I mean, I wasn't aware of any particular controversial stuff. You know, it's I don't know. I up here, you know, we're not worried about the Robert E. Lee statue. We're still trying to figure out how to get Christopher Columbus into the lake. So what about it? Do you feel like people from the north, or do they have a view of Southerners that you don't like, or what about that?
No, it's just that, you know, we get them down here and they come down trying to tell us how to do things.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, if you want to do things that way, go back where you came from.
Yeah.
There's actually a small town outside of Raleigh called Cary.
Yeah, I know it.
And there's a Cary stands for a containment area for retired Yankees.
Yes.
It's a joke. But I gotta tell you, the population of North Carolina has become so homogenized. So many people moved here from other places. It's really hard to find a real North Carolinian here, you know, a native.
Yeah. And you don't have a lot of Ku Klux Klan people there, no matter what they say in the north. I mean, you do, but
yeah, and that's you know, it's a secret organization.
Right.
No one knows anything about it.
Right.
Wink, wink.
Right. Kind of like the Republican Party.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, very similar. Exactly. Yeah. So. But have you? I don't know. I mean, do you feel people sort of assume that you're living in Trump land down there?
Oh man, I'm telling you. Well, there are quite a few Trumpers down here.
Yeah.
But I think they are being slowly outnumbered.
Yeah. By just people moving in or people changing their...
people going for Biden.
Yeah? Wow.
Yep. I know that there are several people in my family who voted for Trump.
Yeah.
In fact, everyone except for me.
Yeah, really? They don't invite you to the Thanksgiving dinners anymore, do they?
It does become kind of... there's some friction there that is not really spoken of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They know better than to say anything about Trump to me, and I know better to say anything about Trump to them.
Yeah.
Even though when Obama was O'Biden, when Obama was president, they were always putting him down, always saying something. Oh, he's not even a real American. Blah blah blah. And I just look at him and go, just shake my head.
Do any of these people? I mean, do they change their? They change their view. I think that there's so many people that voted for Trump that must be thinking, I don't know if that's such a good idea.
I know one that in our family that is thinking that way, and I'm glad to see it.
Yeah.
You notice I'm not calling anyone in the family out. I'm just saying, you know, there are people who like Trump in the family and others who don't.
Well, I mean, you know what buyer's remorse is? You bought that shiny new car, and then it's a lemon, and it takes you a couple of years to just, you know, admit that you bought a bad car. Buyer's remorse.
Yep.
What do you think? Is that going on at all?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think there are some people that are actually smart enough to see through the ruse and take action on it.
Yeah.
So I'm encouraged by that.
Yeah. This is Carolina Mike, who's now going to tell us how to win the election.
Well, first you have to buy the postmaster.
Yes, you do. So, yeah, and there's a you're having a gubernatorial election down there this year too, right?
That is correct. That is correct. In the Republican
Lieutenant Governor.
Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah.
Is running for the governor's spot.
Yeah.
And he's having all of these rallies and stuff, and no one's wearing masks.
Yeah.
No one's staying 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
And so now there's a doctor running an ad on TV, a doctor in Raleigh, who's begging Lieutenant Governor Forrest to stop doing what he's doing because he's endangering so many people.
Yeah.
And that's an ad that runs quite often. I'm so glad to see it.
I'm looking here. I have a list of news here. This is a couple of states over. In Georgia, a goat jumped in a Georgia deputy's vehicle and ate her paperwork. Do you see this?
Try telling the teacher that.
This doesn't happen in Illinois. Anyway, it does not happen in Illinois. Well, listen, you sound like you're doing good. How's your mom doing?
She's doing great.
Yeah?
She's 96, 97 in November.
Oh, 97. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And still don't mess with mama.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Don't take any crap from mom.
Yeah.
What's up? Don't feed any crap to mom.
It sounds like you were surviving there in the midst of everything there.
Yeah, but, you know, it is very boring. And my life consists of taking her to her hair appointment every week and going to get groceries. She doesn't go with me to the grocery store anymore because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so I spend, we'd go to Walmart 4 or 5 times a week. I mean, that's the big story here.
That's living in the South. Isn't it? Living in the South.
But now I only go once a week, and it's to buy groceries. Anything else goes on the list, and I'll get it my next trip up.
What's a 97-year-old woman eat in North Carolina?
Just about anything she wants.
Is that right?
Yep. Anything, and she still cooks. She cooks an evening meal every day.
Wow, really?
Yep. I fix her breakfast and lunch, and she takes care of dinner.
Yeah. You know what? This is America. In any language. Hey, buddy, you stay safe, okay?
You too, Gary. Good to hear from you, my man.
See you, man.
I'll talk to you soon.
See ya. It's 20 before the hour. Little Heart of Mine. It's Isley Brothers. It is 17 before the hour. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Bleat Radio at Bleat.network here in Chicago. And we welcome you to kind of a rainy day here, at least here in the Midwest. Now, that gives us an opportunity to cheer up the skies a little bit. Thanks to Mike, by the way, my good friend, Carolina Mike. They are dealing with it down where he is. So, yeah, I bet Mike remembers this little note here. Something happened on this day. Let's see here. Gotta get this going here. The Monkees TV show. That's what I was looking for. What was the deal with the Monkees TV show? You know, if you're kind of my age, you kind of remember that. It was kind of an annoying show. The thing was, though, in their day, the Monkees, believe it or not, actually outsold the Beatles for a while. And, you know, the Monkees TV show, it kind of precursored a lot of music videos and stuff. Anyway, the deal was, young movie and TV director Bob Raffleson was looking for a big break. He dreamt up a show about a struggling rock band. He ran a production company called Raybert with his business partner. And what they'd agreed to do in 1965 to go ahead with the project, and they wanted to find four insane boys who could literally play the part of the Monkees. They talked to both the Dave Clark Five and the Lovin' Spoonful. Then they went on to audition, how about this, Harry Nilsson, Stephen Stills, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, that I did not know. Stephen Stills almost was a monkey. They finally settled on two former child actors, Davy Jones and Mickey Dolenz, and two obscure folk singers, Mike Nesmith and Peter Tork. And I think we got something that sounded something very much like this.
We come walking down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the Monkees, and people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
This was not a controversial band. Monkees hits included I'm a Believer, Pleasant Valley Sunday, Last Train to Clarksville. They were briefly America's leading rock band. They were stung by reports, which were true, that they did not play their own records. The band practiced hard and went on tour, and their demise was signaled when they teamed up with Jack Nicholson in 1968.
Here's a story.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
Who was bringing us three very lovely girls.
That's right. We've got to have the Brady Bunch coming up soon here. Anyway, this day in 1960, what did I say, 66, I think the Monkees went on the TV. So that's happened. You know what else happened? I'm gonna make a note of this. I don't really know what to do more about this, but I read about this. This day, a guy whose name is Marcel Rebidat, 18-year-old kid from France, took his dog Robot into the hills near his home. Robot, the dog, ran into a hole created by a fallen tree, and then Rebidat threw some stones into the hole and was surprised that they seemed to travel a long way down. Yeah, he discovered this big hole. So he came back with some friends, and they discovered what were to become the Lascaux Cave Paintings, Lascaux. Do you know about these? I keep stumbling upon this. It's an underground cave in prehistoric France, estimated to be between 17 and 20,000 years old. And it's described by people as the cradle of art. It's a cave, big cave, and all kinds of animals, prehistoric paintings. Protective of layer of chalk had made the caves watertight, enabling the artwork to be remarkably preserved in blacks and browns and reds and yellows. Just waking up, that's Lascaux. Anyway, if you could Google this and check it out, it's pretty cool. So anyway, the cave complex was open to the public in 1948 and soon attracted about 1,200 visitors a day. That's when the problems began, because, see, it was sealed, right? It was sealed to the elements, and by 1955, carbon dioxide from the breath of visitors, along with heat and humidity, started to take their toll on the paintings. And then the air conditioning brought fungi and lichen. So anyway, they closed the whole thing down in 1963. But then they opened a replica cave, which you can check out. Interesting stuff. Hard to do this on the radio, but I thought that was a thing to check out. If you got a second, got a laptop, got a device, LASCAUX, Lascaux, the cave paintings from your. Yeah, all right. Should we do something quick here before we run? I've been trying to do this to help us all, I think, get a little bit more armed as we talk about the election. I want to explain something. It's extremely complicated. My friend Doug Suley out in California did a piece that we've posted on the website. I'm going to move the mic over here if I can, not to bump in your ear. Anyway, Doug Suley, S-O-O-L-E-Y. It's a piece called The Human Crisis, a Not-So-Special K. And normally, you know, it's just almost impossible to get anywhere with economics on the radio. It's just too much of a translation issue. Anyway, I thought this would lend itself to radio. Doug, an old friend of mine and an extremely informed man and a guy that actually used to produce my show years ago. Anyway, we posted this on the website. It's bleat.network. And it talks about a human crisis, a not-so-special K, all right? Now, here's what I'm doing with this. Most recoveries, you know, recovery, you see the arrows and the up and down and this and that. The point of this whole article here is that this particular recovery is going to be in the shape of a K. You with me? So you got 1K going up and 1K going down. All right. You know what I'm talking about. The recovery, who's recovering? Well, let's do a quick thing here. Can you imagine 400 people? 400 people. I don't know, your high school graduating class, something like that. How about a huge wedding you went to? I mean, you went to some rock band. All right, 400 people. You got it? You got 400 people? All right. Now, compare that group of people with half of the population of the United States. That's about 150 million. So over here, we got 400 million people. And over here, we got 150 million people. And the amount of money that they're dealing with is pretty much the same. That is what this whole notion of a special K recovery is about, that the 400 people who own more wealth than the bottom 150 million people, that's the recovery. So the one arrow going up and the little arrow going down. So what's happening to the 150 million on the bottom? They're losing money. The 400 people, they're doing very well. They're playing golf somewhere right now as we speak. And all this has to do with the election, and it has to do with the amount of money that is at stake in the election of 2020. And as I say, forewarned is forearmed. This is a long piece. We posted it on the website. I'm going to suggest that if you get a second, you read it. It gives a very, very alarming history of what's happened in the money, the wealth concentration. The rich literally getting richer, the poor literally getting poor, and now really for the first time in the United in history, we're in a serious food shortage. We really are. There are people that are just not getting enough to eat, and how does that happen here in the United States? That is part of what you you want to know about when you read this piece. The special, not so special K recovery. It's on the front page of our website, bleep.network. Again, the K, the one, you know, the capital K looks like, the capital K, that's the 400 people getting the money, and the other 150 million people, not so much. These are the kinds of things that make it extremely important for all of us to vote this this year. And to try to figure out how to do that is not always going to be easy. So we'll continue to talk about registering to vote and how to cast your mail-in ballot if you have one. So that's going on. Also, I want to make a point here if I can. Let's see here. I have so much paperwork here, and I want to talk a little bit about the Lincoln Project. Lincoln Project, you know about the Lincoln Project? It's an interesting thing. The Lincoln Project is put together by some former Republicans. The Democrats are arguing that the Lincoln Project is a sideshow, doing things that other campaigns have done or doing what will have minimal impact on the 2020 election. We see a lot of stuff from the Lincoln Project, and some of what we post on the website here. Here's what we do know about the Lincoln Project right now. It's led by several never-Trump men who have had many years of credentials. Rick Wilson, for example, worked on presidential campaigns for George H.W. Bush. Steve Schmidt worked for John McCain. George Conway, conservative lawyer, he helped Paula Jones pursue a sexual harassment suit against Bill Clinton. These are all people from the Lincoln Project. And part of what I got to confirm this, but my understanding is part of what they do, they run ads where Trump can see them, and that theoretically drives him nuts. So the Lincoln Project. We'll do more research about that. As I say, we posted some stuff on the website. Check out my friend Doug Sooley, S-O-O-L-E-Y, on the topic of the not-so-special K recovery. All this is what we're up against. All of this is what we're up against as we look at the election of 2020. My final question, you know what? It'd be great to get some feedback on this. Toll free 24/7. It's 844-220-3300. Does all the Trump stuff, bad, good, indifferent, does it make it worse for people that want to get him out of office? In other words, every day we have Trump this, Trump that, Trump that. He's there. He's being quoted. He's being videoed. Are we finding more ways to defeat him? Or are we magnifying the enemy? And I do not know. I don't know the answer to that. If you've got a comment, it's 844-220-3300. It's toll free. Or if you want, send me anything to radioanything@gmail.com. All right? Yeah. All right. We'll make sense of all of this. Whatever you do, let's vote. Please, let's vote. I wish I could vote right now. With no particular problems. We'll see if that happens. This wide cast produced in Chicago by Natasha Rodriguez. Have the best day you can.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I've seen them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I've ever known. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.